Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. What if the most common form of intelligent life in the universe isn't on planets like ours at all? What if most intelligent life is swimming?
Oh, wow.
Not walking.
That's a really interesting thought, isn't it? We've spent so much time looking for life on planets that are similar to Earth, but what if that's actually a very limited perspective?
Yeah, that's exactly what this research paper explores. It digs into the probability of technological intelligence, or TI, evolving in ocean-based habitats, which they call
OBHs.
OBHs.
Right.
Versus land-based habitats.
Like ours.
Like ours, which they call LBHs. So we've got...
Right. And what's really fascinating is that our owner actually has both types of habitats, which is potentially unusual.
Interesting.
When you consider the sheer number of possible ocean worlds out there in the Milky Way.
Okay. So let's unpack this. We've got land-based habitats. We've got ocean-based habitats. What makes scientists think that ocean worlds might be the more common scenario for life?
Well, take a look at a system like TRAPPIST-2-1.
Okay.
Some of the planets there could be made up of 10% water by mass.
Oh, wow.
To put that in perspective, Earth is only about 0.02% water.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
It really is.
So these planets are practically water worlds, and we've even got potential ocean worlds right here in our own solar system, right?
Exactly. Think about Europa and Enceladus. They're both thought to have subsurface oceans, which means there's liquid water hidden beneath their icy surfaces.
So if OBHs are potentially so common, why did we evolve on land? Does that make us the outliers? That we're walking around on dry land building rockets while most intelligent life might be swimming around in some alien ocean?
That is the big question this paper tries to tackle. And here's where it gets really interesting. Based on current knowledge and some reasonable assumptions, the researchers suggest that the odds of technological intelligence emerging on an LBH, like ours, could be as low as 1 in 10,000.
Wow. So statistically speaking, walking on two legs and building rockets seems to be the cosmic equivalent of winning the lottery backwards. That's kind of mind-blowing.
It is. It almost seems to contradict the Copernican principle, the idea that we're not special or unique in the universe.
Right.
But the paper doesn't just stop there. It offers three possible explanations, they call them Copernican alternatives, that try to reconcile our seemingly unusual existence on land with the abundance of potential ocean worlds.
Okay, I'm hooked. Let's dive into these alternatives. What's the first one?
The first alternative is called the harder in water hypothesis.
Okay.
The idea here is that maybe, and this is a big maybe, technological intelligence is simply much less likely to evolve in ocean-based habitats for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, that makes sense intuitively. Water is such a different environment than land. I imagine it would present some unique challenges for any life trying to develop complex technology.
Absolutely. Think about it. Water's density and viscosity make movement much more energy intensive. Imagine trying to build even a basic structure underwater. It would be a constant battle against buoyancy and currents.
And it's not like you could just start a fire underwater to smelt metal or power machinery either.
Exactly. Fire, which played such a pivotal role in human technological development, is basically impossible underwater.
Yeah.
And limited visibility could also be a major hurdle. Think about how much we rely on sight for everything from communication to navigation to tool use.
Right.
It's a very different sensory environment.
So in this harder in water scenario, how much harder would it have to be for life in OBHs to evolve TI for our existence on land to not be such a statistical anomaly?
Well, the researchers crunched the numbers using a method called Bayesian statistical analysis.
Okay.
Basically a way of updating probabilities based on new evidence.
Yeah.
And they found that if the rate of TI emergence in OBHs is at least 1,000 times lower than in LBHs, then our existence on land wouldn't be quite so unusual.
1,000 times less likely. That's a pretty significant difference. So what's the next Copernican alternative?
The second one is called the short window hypothesis.
Okay.
This one focuses on the time frame that OBHs might be habitable. It suggests that maybe those habitable windows are much shorter compared to land-based habitats.
Okay, so even if intelligent life could evolve in an ocean world, maybe there just isn't enough time for it to happen before the environment becomes uninhabitable.
Exactly. And we have examples of this even in our own solar system. Look at Enceladus again.
Right.
It has those hydrothermal vents that release energy and chemicals into its subsurface ocean.
Yeah.
But some scientists believe those vents might only be active for around 100 million years.
That's a blink of an eye in cosmic terms.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that oxygen is important for the development of complex life. Could that be a factor in this short window idea?
Absolutely. Oxygenating an ocean world could take a very long time, potentially over a billion years.
Wow.
If those OBHs lose their habitability before they become oxygen rich, it could severely limit the development of energy intensive life, let alone intelligent life.
So how much shorter would the habitable window in an OBH have to be compared to an LBH for this hypothesis to work?
Again, they used that Bayesian analysis to figure that out. And they found that the habitable window for OBHs would have to be at least 10,000 times shorter than on land for this to be a viable explanation.
10,000 times shorter. It really makes you appreciate the stability we've had here on Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the third alternative. What's that one all about?
The third alternative is called the rare recipe hypothesis. This one proposes that most OBHs might simply be missing some key ingredient that's essential for technological intelligence to evolve.
Okay, so it's not that it's necessarily harder to evolve TI in an ocean. It's just that maybe most oceans don't have all the right ingredients in the first place.
Exactly. It's like trying to bake a cake, but realizing you're missing a crucial ingredient like flour or eggs. It doesn't matter how good a baker you are, you're not going to get a cake without all the necessary components.
So what kind of crucial ingredients might be missing in these OBHs?
Well, certain essential elements might be scarce in some ocean worlds. Phosphorus, for example, which is crucial for life as we know it, might not be readily available in some OBHs.
Okay.
It's essential for DNA, energy transfer, and a whole bunch of other biological processes.
That makes sense. Are there other missing ingredients they considered?
Yes. They also talk about the challenges of high-pressure ice formation at the bottom of deep oceans. This ice isn't like the ice we're used to. It forms under immense pressure and can actually trap nutrients and energy sources, making them inaccessible to life.
So it's like a giant icy barrier at the bottom of the ocean, locking away all the good stuff that life needs.
That's a great way to put it. And for this rare recipe hypothesis to hold up, the researchers found that the fraction of OBHs with all the right ingredients for TI would have to be about 10,000 times smaller than the fraction of suitable LBHs.
Wow, so each of these alternatives is suggesting a pretty extreme difference between ocean worlds and land-based worlds when it comes to the development of intelligent life.
They are. But what's remarkable is that all three of these alternatives, despite their differences, could help explain why we find ourselves here on land, seemingly bucking the trend in a universe potentially teeming with ocean worlds.
It's incredible to think about all the factors that could be influencing the development of intelligent life, both here on Earth and on other planets. And you know, this all ties back to the UAP question in a really intriguing way.
It absolutely does. If some UAP sightings are indeed evidence of technological intelligence from OBHs visiting our planet, which of these scenarios is most likely? And what would that tell us about their technology, their society, their motivations for coming here?
Those are some huge questions, and I am so ready to dive into them. Let's pick up right where we left off and dive deeper into some of those implications for UAPs. Because if some UAPs are actually visitors from ocean worlds, that raises some really fascinating questions about their technology.
It really does make you wonder, you know, what kind of technology a civilization that evolved underwater might develop. It would have to be so different from anything we've ever seen.
I mean, if they don't have access to fire, their energy sources and the materials they use would have to be completely different.
It's fascinating to consider.
Yeah.
They might have mastered harnessing energy from hydrothermal vents.
Okay.
Or perhaps they've found ways to utilize bioluminescence for light and energy.
Oh, interesting.
And their materials science would probably be based on things like biopolymers or pressure-resistant ceramics.
Yeah.
Things we're only just beginning to explore.
And their communication methods would be fascinating, too.
Absolutely. Sound travels much more efficiently in water than it does in air.
Right.
So they might have incredibly sophisticated sonar-based communication systems.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe they've developed complex forms of bioluminescent signaling, like living underwater fiber optic networks.
Can you imagine trying to decipher their language?
Right.
That would be a challenge and a half.
It would. We'd have to completely rethink our understanding of linguistics and semiotics. Instead of looking for patterns in sound waves, we might be trying to decode flashes of light or subtle variations in bioluminescent patterns.
So if we ever did encounter a civilization from an OBH, how do you think we'd even begin to understand each other?
That's a great question, and it's one that scientists are actually starting to think about seriously.
Yeah.
Some believe that mathematics or physics could serve as a universal language, since the laws of the universe are the same everywhere.
That makes sense. Maybe we'd start by trying to communicate simple mathematical concepts.
Yeah.
Kind of like a cosmic game of charades using pulses of light or sound.
Exactly. Or perhaps we could try to convey basic scientific principles. If they've developed advanced technology, they must have some understanding of things like gravity or electromagnetism.
It would be like trying to explain the internet to someone who's never even seen a computer before.
Yes. The cultural differences would be immense, and the communication barrier would be unlike anything we've ever encountered.
So, circling back to those three Copernican alternatives, if we wanted to try to figure out which one is most likely, where would we even begin? What kind of evidence would we need to look for?
Well, one of the most compelling pieces of evidence would be finding technosignatures from ocean worlds.
Okay.
Technosignatures are basically any signs of technology that would indicate the presence of an intelligent civilization.
Like radio signals or maybe some kind of large-scale engineering project that we could detect from afar.
Exactly. If you were to find definitive evidence of technology originating from an ocean world, it would be a strong indicator that technological intelligence isn't as rare in OBHs as we might think.
So we need to keep searching for those signals, and we need to be open to the possibility that those signals might look very different from what we're used to.
Right.
They might not be radio waves or lasers, but something completely alien to our current understanding of technology.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, we can keep learning as much as we can about ocean worlds right here in our own solar system. Studying places like Europa and Enceladus could give us valuable insights into the potential for life in OBHs, and maybe even help us understand how those environments might shape the development of intelligence.
It's exciting to think that we might be on the verge of discovering life beyond Earth, and that life could take forms that are so different from anything we've ever imagined.
Yeah.
It really underscores the importance of keeping an open mind when exploring the universe.
It does. And even if we don't find life in those particular ocean worlds, the research we're discussing today highlights just how vast and diverse the possibilities are. Remember, even if technological intelligence is rare in OBHs, even if those odds are 1 in 10,000 or even smaller, the sheer number of ocean worlds out there means there could still be countless civilizations out there swimming in the depths of alien oceans.
It's a mind-boggling concept, and it makes all of the challenges we face here on Earth seem so small in comparison.
It really does put things into perspective, doesn't it? It's a reminder that there's so much more out there than we can even imagine, and we're just beginning to scratch the surface of understanding our place in the cosmos.
It's humbling and awe-inspiring all at the same time. So as we wrap up our discussion of these Copernican alternatives, is there a final provocative thought you'd like to leave our listeners with? Something for them to ponder as they continue their own exploration of this topic?
Well, I think one of the most thought-provoking takeaways for me is that even if we never find definitive proof of life in those particular ocean worlds,
in our solar system,
right here in our backyard,
the very fact that they could exist changes our whole perspective on the universe.
It really does.
It does.
Broadens our horizons.
Yeah.
And forces us to reconsider our assumptions about what life might look like.
Absolutely.
And where it might be found.
Yeah. And speaking of assumptions, I think it's worth highlighting the rigorous methodology the researchers used in this paper.
Okay.
They took a Bayesian statistical approach.
I was going to say, which sounds
very technical, but helps to ground these mind-blowing ideas in solid science.
Yeah. How would you explain that in a way that, you know, makes it a little more relatable?
Yeah, so it's a powerful tool for dealing with uncertainty.
Okay.
And for updating our beliefs as we gather new information.
Okay.
Essentially, they started with the observation that we, as a technologically intelligent species, evolved on land. Then they factored in everything we know about ocean worlds, their potential abundance, their different environments, the challenges or possibilities they present.
So they're not just throwing out wild speculations.
Exactly.
They're taking what we know and using it to calculate the probability of these different scenarios, those Copernican alternatives, being true.
Exactly. And by using this Bayesian approach, they can actually quantify how our understanding of the universe shifts as we learn more about these ocean worlds. For example, if we were to find evidence of hydrothermal vents on a planet in TRAPPIST-1, it would increase the probability of the short window hypothesis being correct.
That's so cool. It's like a detective piecing together clues to solve a mystery.
Mm.
But the mystery is the origin and evolution of life itself.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And just like a good detective story, this research leaves us with more questions than answers.
Oh, for sure.
But those questions are what drive scientific inquiry
and push us to explore further.
Absolutely. It's the perfect blend of hard science and boundless imagination.
Mm.
And I think that's a key takeaway for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Never stop questioning, never stop exploring, and never be afraid to let your imagination soar, even as you stay grounded in the facts.
Well said. This research is a reminder that we're living in an age of incredible scientific discovery, and the universe is constantly revealing new wonders and mysteries.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of ocean worlds and the potential for intelligent life beneath the waves.
Yes.
Is there one final provocative thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I do.
Okay.
I want you to imagine this. Even if technological intelligence is incredibly rare in OBHs, even if those odds are 1 in 10,000 or even smaller, the sheer number of ocean worlds out there means there could still be more intelligent beings swimming in the universe than walking on planets like ours.
Let that sink in for a moment. More intelligent life swimming than walking.
Mm-hmm.
The implications are absolutely staggering.
They are. And that's the thought I'd like to leave you with. What might those underwater civilizations be like? What could we learn from them? And most importantly, will we ever have the chance to meet them?
Those are questions we can't answer today. But hopefully this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and given you a new perspective on the search for life beyond Earth.
As always, this episode is just a starting point.
Of course.
We encourage you to explore the full research paper for yourself and to continue diving deeper into these fascinating questions.
Until next time, keep looking up and keep exploring the depths of our incredible universe.